Help us this morning, God. Help the word you put in my heart and my mind to come out of my mouth, God. Help us, Jesus, that this word to take root in us, God, and change us. Help us, God, to break up our own fallow ground, Lord. We love you and we give you thanks, God. We need you, Jesus. We need you. We need your spirit to help us, God. What can we do without you? We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Our lesson is opportunities for life. But that, the more I studied, the more in my heart, and the more I see that pride is my lesson. Yeah, I was crushed. I had my wagon all full of apples, and the Lord was like, could you get your apples out of my wagon? I was like, well, I thought that was a good one, Jesus. I had it. It was like, out of my wagon. You ever had a plan, and God said, ditch his plan, because it ain't going to work. And you went on and pushed it and pushed it and pushed it and tried to make it work, because you was proud. Proud you come up with it, or so proud that you didn't want anybody to think that anything you done you would fail at. And thank you, $10, Charles. But you know, I've failed at a lot of stuff. I mean, if you wasn't a Christian, you would consider me to be a failure. But if you were a Christian, you would say, she seems to be a success with God. No matter what my work is, no matter how I make my money, or how I look, or what I weigh, or who I'm kin to, or what state I come out of, if you was spiritual enough to look at people and see the spiritual things about people, boy, wouldn't that be good if us Christians could do that? If we wouldn't be so much like the world, engage people on their financial, well, I'm not going to go out to eat with them because did you see the car they pulled up in? This is about pride. This is about life. This is life. This is life. We're not to declass or class people like the world does. But we do it. We don't socialize with them because they're of this kind, and they don't dress and they don't act like we do, and they don't come from the same place that I come from, so I'm not going to fellowship with them. The way they talk and their accent's different, so I'm going to separate myself from them and let them go be in that other group. And that's pride. That's pride. And pride hinders people from salvation. It really does. I had got saved a long time ago. We don't even go into years. But it was pride that caused me to backslide. But now, I didn't backslide overnight. It went from this pew, I just backed her on up right to the back. There was a 30-day revival, and I went for 30 days to the revival. And eventually, by the 28th night, I was back in the back. Now, brother, ain't nothing wrong with sitting in the back. Get what I'm saying? Was I'm talking about spiritually and physically, I had made my way because I started looking at all the people. I started looking at them. And I just rolled it on back. But pride. And I would have to say not only pride on my case, but sometimes it's the pride of the people in the sanctuary. We proud. We some proud people. And I'm not saying that we can't be proud of our culture. We can't be proud of our church. We can't be proud of our children. And we can't be proud of our work and our skills and our abilities. But we cannot be full of pride. Pride. But if we'll start in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 8. Says, this is Jesus. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, we'll separate this a little bit. I'm going to try to be a teacher this morning. Although I feel preaching, hold it. We can be confident to know that Jesus knows our works. I don't have to tell this brother, he's a tough brother. I don't have to tell him my works. I don't have to call him in the evening, this is all the works I've done this week, brother. I got nothing to prove to him. But Jesus, he knows my works. He knows our works. How about if I don't talk so much about my, but I say our, okay? He knows our works. And he said, I have set before thee an open door. There is always, I'm fidgeting, I know. There's always an open door. You go to Walmart, honey, there's an open door if you'll look for it. In the parking lot, there's an open door if you'll look for it. And we might be looking for the glamorous open door, like up there. But I'm talking about individuals in the parking lot. If somebody sees you stop at Walmart and take a buggy and then go put it back in the slot, that's a Christian thing to do. I mean, it ain't your job. Walmart ain't going to cut you a check. But it sure ain't going to hurt you, is it, to take that buggy on up to the little slot there. You see trash on the ground, it ain't going to bother you. You don't know who's watching you. And especially us. Huh? Us. Down to here, up to there. They watching us. I mean, one from some other denomination. Well, let's see what these holiness people are going to do. And you bend down to pick up that trash and go put it in the trash can. They're like, did you see that? But we can't be so holy or that we're above doing the dirty work. We can't be so holy and above and righteous or in our own righteousness that we can't do low things or what we consider low things. And don't be saying in your mind right now, I don't think anything is lowly, because you do. Everybody has a low. Well, I ain't doing that. God didn't call me to wash them dishes. Yeah, he did. And if you think he didn't, guess what your next task could be? Washing them dishes. We can't be so haughty to think that we have arrived because we hadn't. But here he says, I know your works, and I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength. And you know, this is, listen, he's saying, you know, I know you're tired. I know you're tired. And sometimes, you know, we're busy, but we're not doing anything really effective. We're just busy. We're just running all over the place. And at the end of the day, you've run out $15 worth of gas and ate nabs all day, and you've done absolutely nothing. Because you ain't made no plan. You don't get up in the morning and say, now, I'm talking about me too. Lord, I'm off today, thank you. And what you want me to do? How can I be off today and still be effective for the kingdom of God? Now, do you want me to go down here to this store? Or you want me to go to that store? Do you want me to call somebody? Do you want me to visit? What you want me to do today? Because he said, I know thy works, and I have set before thee an open door. But you can pass an open door. Because of pride. And he says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. And you know, we do. We want to keep God's word. It's just some things we miss. And sometimes we can be so heavenly minded. The word says that we're no earthly good. But we have to be earthly good because that's what he's called us to be. And he said, and hast not denied my name. Well, none of us in here would deny the name of Jesus. Huh? We love his name. We love his name. We love the name of Jesus. We start our prayer with Jesus. We end our prayer with Jesus. We go down in the water in his name. We believe in his name and we know who he is, so we don't deny his name. But let's don't deny him in works. Let's don't deny him in works. Now, Jesus talked to people who would not be talked to by his fellow Jews. I'm getting ahead. Back down. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Starting at verse 17. I need your help, God, if you don't help me. And he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. But this, 18 is what we're going to look at today, if you don't mind, honey, verse 18. And it says, on my servants and my handmaidens. Now look, you can't have too much pride when you're called a servant. Because there's a lot goes with being called a servant. And it's not just the positions back here that are servants, but it's the things out from church. We're not talking about church works today. We're talking about outside them door works. I'm talking about individual. I'm an individual Christian when I step outside those doors. I'm representing heaven's view. If somebody says, where you go to church, I'm going to tell them where I go to church. And I'm representing out there, but who I represent the most is Jesus. It's Jesus I'm representing. It's Jesus that I'm really held accountable to. It's him. I mean, now I can get myself in trouble and be held accountable to Pastor Linder and the people here at this church. But I'm talking about inward. This morning we're talking about pride. And you can't always see pride because you're blinded by it. You tell somebody, boy, you're full of pride. No, I'm not. Yes, rooster, you are. You flashing peacock, put her down. Yes, you are. But here he says you're a servant and a handmaiden. It wasn't long after I got saved, this lady come to the church I was going to and she prophesied, but she had called me up and she said, thou handmaiden of the Lord. I cried for days. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he'd want me to be anything. I thought the least he would say is, thou broom pusher. You know, I would have been honored by that. That he would call me anything, but it was the Lord speaking through her, handmaiden of the Lord. I tell you what, that helped me. I mean, that might sound lowly to you. You know, when you go to Biltmore and you walk through the building, I wonder what some of them people, they look, oh, I could have stayed in that room. Oh, I love that tub. Oh, this is where, and this is me. When I got down to the laundry room, I was like, yep, this would have been my job. I'd have never seen the balcony. I'd have been in the basement trying to press sheets and smell chicken. But it would have been a job, and I would have been proud of it because I would have got a check from it. And I could have witnessed to the people that was down there because I'm to witness to where I am. I'm supposed to be a servant. Everywhere I go, I got to be reminded that I'm a servant of the Most High God. No matter how much I got covered up, how talented I am, how I was baptized, I'm still a servant. I cannot be arrogant because of my belief. I am still a servant of the Most High God. I'm not the Most High God. I'm a servant of His. Therefore, I have to serve. And I'm not, I think sometimes, if Pastor Linder needed his grass cut, I'd bet you 500 people show up in his yard with all kind of mowers. But let somebody else say, gee, I wish I could get somebody to cut my grass, and everybody be like, you need to call Yards or Us. tell me it ain't true. Pride. We want to be acknowledged by this man. We want to be acknowledged by the people who have some authority and just let go of the people that don't have none. And that's pride. I'm a servant of God's. And I have to be a servant on my job. All right, we'll go to Galatians. Excuse me, chapter 6. Is everybody all right this morning? Y'all want me to move on to Psalms? Y'all want me to go back? We'll go to Psalms, where he leads me beside the still water. Like Sister Sharon said last week, that's the part we like to read. We don't like to read the book of James. We want to rip that part out. Man that can't bridle his tongue, his religion's in vain. Man. Yeah, take me back to Psalms. Now, before we get real started in this, I want to talk to you about pride and restoration, because Jesus is in the business of restoration. If you look around, he's restored everybody in here nearabouts. And he did a restoration work in me. But what he did was he used a person, and then he used a people, and then he used the church to do a restoration work in me, because I had to be restored and reconciled back to him. So if he's in that business, we're in that business. Now it's our business. I mean, I'm a dry cleaner. That's how I make my money. But how I live, my living, and how I breathe and live is helping restore other people back to God, back to the church. Because we just can't restore them back to Jesus and not have them come to church. And then those that fall while they're in church, we have to restore them. Shunning people ain't going to make nothing no better. I had got to the place when I backslid, people shunned me because they could not figure out how to help me. But somebody one day got the nerve. I said, hey, this is an open door. Ain't nobody reaching out to her. I'm going to reach out to her. I mean, led by the Holy Ghost now. Come to me and help me. Help me get a job. Help me to have somewhere to stay. Restored me physically, but restored me spiritually, because that's what God had called her to do. There was times she didn't eat with her family. She would eat with me. There was times she could go shopping with her friends, but instead she would spend time with me, because she was trying. She was a representative of Jesus. I will make time for you, Tammy. We represent Jesus. I mean, it ain't all about getting a house and a car and the best perfect college. It ain't all about that. We need to do a work of restoration. Hey, I want somebody to go to my family and help restore my family back. So you know what I do? I try to reach out to other people to help them come back. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I like to tell funny stories in between, because it gets real tense and y'all get quiet. Come in. I went to help this couple in another state. It was just for a certain amount of time. And the woman had a nervous breakdown. And they'd been going to church most of their life, and I knew some about their business, so I was asked to come help. That sounds funny, don't it? What you go down there and do, blow out some spots? Yeah. No, but when I got down there, the church they was going to, I said, well, I've got to go to church. I can't help them if I ain't getting my cup full. So I had went with them a couple times, but it got the wife, her condition got pretty bad, that she was too overwhelmed to go to church. So me and the husband, we take shifts to because it was bad. And I had sat with them a couple times, kind of back in the back. And the first time I went by myself, this lady got up from somewhere. And I watched her as she made her way to me. And I was like, uh-oh, here comes Long Tongue. And I was not then the person I am today. I was Sharp Tongue. And she come back here and she started inquiring about these people's what goings on. And I said, well, you know, that's private. That's private. And she just kept on asking. She wanted to know. And I said, you know, the pastor knows. And that's all it needs to know. This is private. Because the more you know, the more you're responsible. So if I tell you, you're going to have to come over and do some shift work. Maybe you can do some laundry and wash some of them dishes. Maybe you can try to keep an eye on her while she tries to sleep. I didn't say it to her. I thought about it. But it wasn't none of her business. See, she wasn't trying to do a work of restoration or trying to help. She was trying to be nosy. But it says those who are spiritual go to the one who is overtaken in a fault and you help them. And you don't tell their business. Nothing is more human. You know, one thing I'm glad about that we don't let people stand up and give prayer requests no more. Could you have been to a church and you just want to say, sit down? That's gossip. My brother used to say, no blessed gossip, please. Just the plain request. Because you'd get up some mommy. Y'all, pray for my old daughter-in-law being mean to my pookie bear. Y'all just pray for him. We was like, we can't even pray. What's wrong with your daughter-in-law? That was gossip. She just wanted everybody to know her daughter-in-law was awful. That ain't no work of restoration. And it sure ain't going to help Pookie Boo Boo. She should have put the belt on that a long time ago. Hey, don't wait till they're 40 to fix them, honey. Get pride out of them now. Hey, you better work on pride. Everybody don't love Precious like you do. And pride will let you let Precious get away with stuff. And later on, people like us has got to work with Precious. And we don't care. We get all kind of princesses at our job. It's hot. Well, you better go to work at Hamrick or something, honey. Because you ain't going to last a day in this place. It ain't even summer. I'm not opening that box. You ain't going to pan out here. But we get proud, don't we? You go to a choir about a job, and they tell you, well, I ain't taking that job. You come ask pastor, can I do something? He's talking about, well, the needs of plunging. I didn't come here to plunge. I come here to set up here on the front. Let everybody know how reputable I am. There's some jobs take the pride right out of you. You know, I go on to confess stuff about myself so I don't have to worry about it. It's easier, ain't it, Charles? It's easier just go on and tell it. You ain't got to worry about it. And that way you don't have to wrestle with pride. But with pride, you got to keep up some pretty high standards. And when you got pride, you teach your children have to have pride. And then when you teach somebody pride and you got pride, you start hiding stuff. Oh. Yeah, we do. But notice here in the scripture when it's talking about if a man be overtaken in a fault, this particular man or woman has to want to have help. They couldn't tell me when I backslid. They could not tell me I was at fault because I said y'all are at fault. And if you can't be honest, if a person cannot be honest, you cannot help them because they have to be honest with themselves and they have to be honest with God. But pride is the worst thing that can happen to a Christian and to a church. And I'm telling you, if you hang out with a proud, boastful person very long, you're going to have that same spirit. You're going to be arrogant too. You're not going to park your BMW Jaguar over by my Honda. You'll be afraid my Honda rub off on your car. Or they'll try to set up a date. Well, I ain't eating at the Dairy-O. I'm going to eat that high expensive place. But you know, when you got pride, it narrows the things you can do for God. If Brother Brian said, I'm singing at my church and my church alone. Ain't nobody get behind my piano. You know what? This would be it right here. Not that this ain't great, but I'm saying when you got a call on your life, you don't want to be boxed in. And Jesus don't box you in. He said, remember what he said in Revelation? There's an open door for you. But if you got pride, you narrow the street down. You can just go only a few places because of your pride. Is that the truth? Well, if we examine ourselves, if I'm narrow-minded about who I want to talk to or witness to, if I just pick a certain kind of people that I witness to, don't tell me my witnessing is going to be limited because I'm too proud to witness to other people. Look, somebody humbled themselves and witnessed to me, and I'm not going to tell you the town that I lived in, but it took a lot. It took a lot for her to pull me into her family and her home. It took a lot. But you know what she said? She said, it's worth it. And she felt an unction from the Holy Ghost. It's worth it. And you know what she said one time? We was at a car wash. And I beat myself up for the things I'd done. She said, you know what you are, Tammy? You are a chunk of coal right now. But there's a diamond on the inside. I tell you, boy, I was like this. And next thing you know, my head was up. I said, I am. I do look like a chunk of coal. But when the Lord starts doing the work of polishing and cutting things off me, shining me up and buffeting me and putting me under that grinding wheel more and more, the more little things started showing up in my life, little things that I didn't even know was there. We was at that same car wash, and I seen this older man fighting this soda pop machine, trying to get his soda pop. And man, I got riled up. I said, that soda pop machine, better give that old man that drink. I tell you, I'm much refined today. I went over and snatched that machine around. I started pounding that soda pop come out, and that old man was like, thank you. I said, all right then. And I sat down, and Janice, she wasn't ashamed of me. If you'd have seen me wrestle that thing. She said, you know what? I can see you love people. Now, to me, all I did was manhandle a soda pop machine. But this woman had spiritual eyes. She could see what I could do. She seen where God was wanting to take me. She had been around me long enough, not in 3-minute intervals, but she'd been around me long enough that she could see that God could do something in my life. But if she'd have been so proud to say, I'm not going to hang around with her with that terrible reputation. I don't want her. I mean, this woman was trying to build a church and a ministry, and yet she was hanging around with me. I'm sure a lot of people wagged their head and said, if that's what she gets to go to her church, listen, you better want that at your church. Huh? What did Jesus say? Well, people don't need a physician, do they? Huh? We can't have pride. We can't have pride. If he done a restoration work in us, we ought to help somebody else. And listen, if you don't think you can help that person be restored, you can pray. You can pray and pray and pray. God send somebody. God help them. God help them to see. Open their eyes, Lord. Help them, Jesus. But this is what we don't. I don't go over here and tell her, well, you ain't gonna believe what they did. You ain't gonna believe where I seen them. You ain't believe what she had on. That ain't restoration. That's causing more division. More and more. And if you don't think people know when you're talking about them. Amen. Hey, people know when you want them. Me and my husband went He was trying to get me to go to this little church a long time ago. And they was having a homecoming. He said, what a great opportunity. And the pastor had invited us. So I love to eat. You might not know that. And it's not healthy. But I had made fried potato salad, which is one of our family's favorite, and 18-layer chocolate cake. So we go in. There ain't but 12 of them. I don't know how you'd be that proud. But the head money lady, I believe she was, she come over and she said, did you make that? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what is it? I said, fried potato salad. What's it got in it? So I went to telling her. And because, you know, women, we love to talk about food and how to cook. And she said, is that your cake? What is it? And I told her about the cake. And she said, we're all on Weight Watchers. And if it hadn't been some of my husband's kinfolk, you could tell there's on Weight Watchers. They've been deprived. And I thought, that's why you got 12 people. That's why you ain't growing. You gonna be sarcastic? The first time somebody comes to church, you're gonna be a smarty? Well, was it really gonna kill you to take 10 points and eat some of that fried potato salad? Do you think Jesus would have said that? I think Jesus would have took his plate and went on over. I think Jesus would have come sat at my table and he would have said, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Oh, we sure hope you come here because look around. We got 12 people. We put out 50 chairs praying that God's going to do some miracle, but every time somebody comes, we shun them and they don't come back. But we're expecting revival. I wasn't trying to compete with that lady's potato salad. I ate it all when I got home. She can count her points all day long, be puffed up with pride. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with Weight Watchers, but I'm telling you, if somebody new come in here and we was having a dinner and they brought something, don't you be snotty and not get you a dip out of it. Hey, people's got feelings. You can skip your pride, but if you want the church to grow, people's going to come in that you don't like. And people's going to need to be restored back to health with Jesus. They don't need to relive another heartbreaking experience. We stayed there for a little while, but I did it kicking and screaming. I ain't going to lie about it. That lady ended up being one of my good friends. But I did tell her later on, I said, listen, if you want people to come and fill up these empty chairs, you're going to have a better attitude. You're going to have to accept God sending anybody that comes in that door. And we ain't got a corner marking on Jesus. But he said, brethren, if any of you taking over in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We supposed to bear each other's burdens. But look, don't have so much pride you don't tell nobody you got a burden. Now, I'm not talking about get up here with this microphone, tell everybody your business, air out your dirty laundry on Facebook. But I'm saying you can find somebody in this building you can have confidence in. You can say, listen, I'm caught in a fault. I'm being overtaken. I thought I could handle it, but I can't. Help me. And they might not be able to help you, but they'll point you to somebody that can help. Get the pastor. Say, brother, I'm overtaken in a fault. I'm really tempted. I'm really struggling. I'm really having problems. I don't believe this brother is the kind to say, well, step back here. Well, we're going to point you out and use you for an example. I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll love you and give you some Bible studies. Amen. Encourage you in the Lord. Pull you close to him. And that's what we're supposed to do. No matter the reputation of the one who has been overtaken in a fault. Now listen, mind you, let's listen, fellas. Now listen. Act like I'm real old. I'm giving you some mommy advice. If you got a problem with your eyes, everybody know? If you got a problem with your eyes, there's some people you can't help. Okay? You send your wife. If you got a problem with your eyes, you leave restoration of some situations to the pastor or to some board person that he puts you, if you got a problem with your eye, because you don't need to be in a fault yourself. Hey, one person in the fault, they start hanging around with another person ain't spiritual, they both fault. What's the Bible say? Blind leads a blind, they end up in the ditch somewhere. And sissy, if you got this problem, blah, 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 and somebody's in the fault, don't go help them. You ask Jesus help you, and when you've been converted, like Jesus told Peter, Peter, when you get converted, then you go help your brethren. But till then, there's some people I couldn't help in certain situations. Now you, somebody abusing other people, I can't help that person. You get the pastor. I'll pray. But you know, if you can't help, you can pray. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is what leads us to Jesus. Prayer is our communication with him. Prayer is where we have fellowship with him. Fellowship is where he hears us, we hear him. And we take all our burdens to him because he cares for us. He said, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what we want to do, don't we? We want to fulfill the law of Christ, is to love one another and care about one another. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This little comment my mom used to make, and you know, when your parents make comments, you don't know. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. I used to think, what is that? What nut would cut their nose off and spite their... I couldn't get that. I didn't even know what spite was. I'm like, where is she going with this? It's water under the bridge. We're not even near a creek. I mean, sometimes some of the stuff they said was... I say it myself. I'm like, this is what she'd say. We'd see somebody going somewhere. Like a rooster. She'd say, I tell you what, if I could buy them for what I thought they was worth and sell them for what they thought they was worth, I'd be rich. It'd take a while. It's understandable. It's understandable. I didn't get it either. It took me like 40 years till I finally understood what my mama was saying. But this is what happened. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And we deceive ourselves a lot. You know, I look in the mirror and I see how much I weigh. But when I walk away, I'm like, you look good. A man called the other day. He's a relative of mine. I was like, I know this joker is kidding. He said, yeah, you know, I'm about 6 foot, weigh 190. I was like, right, right. I'm about 6 foot, 125. We could be a team. We are deceiving ourselves. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And look, we're still talking about the restoration of a fallen person or a person overtaken in a fault. This whole chapter is based on this part of restoration. Because now I'll tell you about my own self. Because the things that I had did when I backslid, the town we lived, my family had churches, and it was church up to here. And everybody knew me, so it was very hard for me to stay in that city, even after the Lord had restored me. But for a while, he had me stay there to prove my works. Do you get it? Does anybody? Like when somebody breaks the rule with you, and you put them like on a probation, you know, you don't do it again. But I had stayed there for a certain amount of time. God wanted them people to see not me, but he could do a work of restoration for everybody that had failed like I did. He did a marvelous work. I mean, you don't know. He did a marvelous work. I think he did a marvelous work in you. I don't know anybody's past. I don't know where anybody was from. But evidently, he did a marvelous work because I see you here this morning. I see you got up this morning and made a decision to come here. You got up and got ready. You had your mind made up. No matter what was going on, I'm going to get me and myself and my children ready. I'm going to the house of God. You know why? It's because he done a work of restoration. And it's not just a set work. It's an ongoing process that he is doing in us to restore us, so that we can help other people and restore them back to him. But it's not done with pride. And we'll drift on. Let's go on down to 10 here, if you don't mind, honey, in Galatians. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We're to help to do a restoration work. If pastor calls you and says, we have somebody or a couple that needs a Bible study, we are to say, I'll do it. You know why? Because he knows who can and who cannot. He's the pastor, and that's Jesus. Jesus knows who can help and who cannot help. But if you cannot help somebody who was overtaken in a fall, or if you're overtaken in a fall today, let Jesus help. Let him help. Confess it. Don't be full of pride. Don't. When the pastor calls for people to come down for prayer. You don't have to tell everybody your business. But surely with this, even this size of a crowd, there's got to be somebody overtaken in the fall. Don't let pride keep you where you are. Don't let pride hold you down and eventually cause you to go out to your car and backslide. When he calls, come down. Ask for prayer. I need prayer. Don't give the dirty details. I need prayer. And if you feel that it's not done enough, ask Pastor. Pull him to the side. Ask Pastor Dan, help me. Get somebody to help me. I'm overtaken. But if you think you can do it on your own, you got a pride problem. Because listen, the devil's got his eye on you. He's seeking whom he may devour. And if you are overtaken in a fault, you are being devoured. Don't deceive yourself and don't fool yourself. Get some help today. Get some help from Jesus. Let the people of this church help you. Let the Lord pour in the oil and the wine, the kind that heals and restores our soul. That's what he wants to do. He wants to restore us back to him. He wants to reconcile us. That's what he wants. That's what he died for our sins. He wants us to be honest and repent. He wants us to reach out to people, not be so prideful. And when we reach out, we want to be careful that we don't start judging people for whatever the fault is. Because when you start judging people, you're going to get overtaken yourself. Then you're going to be in a fault. But he wants to help us. Amen? We'll pray. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks, God, for all that you've done. How good you are. How good. What an excellent work you do. What an excellent work you do. By your Spirit, it's by your Spirit, God. We love you and we give you thanks for all that you've done, God. Let us see a mighty move of your Spirit today. We can't do anything of ourselves, God. Help those that are overtaken to come now, not be full of pride, that they'll fix it today, God, that they'll invite you in. You're the only one can help us, Jesus. We love you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.